Hey, hey, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. I'm your host, Nesson's Lauren Campbell. It's freezing outside, but it is heating up in this offseason. We got a ton to get to. Alex Cora, the Hall of Fame, obviously ending the show on a positive note. So let's just get right to it.
Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Red Sox wasted absolutely no time showing how much faith they have in Alex Cora. On Monday, the team announced that they had picked up Cora's club option through the 2024 season. He signed a two-year deal at the beginning of the 2021 season when he returned to Boston with an option that goes through the 2023 season and the 2024. The Red Sox picked them both up and just said, this is our guy through until at least 2025. I think this speaks volumes about what the organization really believes in Cora. And I said this when the Red Sox re-signed him. I was talking with friends and other coworkers just saying how important Cora will be to this team. He's almost going to serve as an X factor because you saw in 2020, yes, it was a wash of a season between injuries, COVID, and not having Alex Cora and having Ron Renicke as manager. And it's not that the Red Sox didn't respect Ron Renicke. It's just that Alex Cora is such a player's manager. He truly hears his players and he can connect with them on a level that a lot of managers, not just Ron Renicke, but a lot of how other managers just can't seem to do that. You know, Cora's not too much older than a lot of these players. Some of them, yeah, he could be their dad, but he's still in his 40s. He's not too far removed from the game. And like I said, he just truly hears his players. He has this clubhouse. He hears them. He respects his players. And in turn, the players truly respect him. And I think that when he was suspended by MLB for the year for his role in the 2017 sign-stealing scandal, it really took a toll on this team because they truly love Alex Cora. They love playing for him. They love his competitive nature, and they just love playing for him. And I think that's hard to find some days. And when that person is gone and you remove them from the equation, it really puts a damper on the organization. And we saw that through 2020. Now he comes back. The guys are revitalized. They make it to the ALCS, two wins away from the World Series. And I think that certainly helped his case. And I also think that the Red Sox are truly setting up for the future to be competitive, not just in 2022, but in 2023, 2024, and beyond into the 2030s. I don't even want to think that far ahead right now. But I think, like I said, it speaks volumes on how they see Cora, and he's happy to be back. Chaim Bloom spoke to the media on Monday. Obviously, this was a big talking point, and here's what he had to say. He said, there's so much that you can say about what an organization looks for in a manager. I think a lot of it comes down to leadership and partnership. You're seeking a leader not just for your clubhouse and your dugout, but for the entire organization and a partner in our goal of bringing championship caliber baseball to Fenway Park on an annual basis. In Alex, we have both of those things. He's a tremendous leader and a wonderful partner for what we're trying to do as an organization. He continued and said, as a leader and a motivator, he can really help take our clubhouse to another level. There is more to that quote, but it's pretty much just the same thing, just praising him and saying what I had already said. So Chaim Bloom, John Henry, Tom Warner, Larry Lucchino, they have so much faith in Alex Cora. And I think they should. I think that in 2018, when he was brought on to be the manager, I don't know if anybody truly expected this team to win 108 games that year, let alone win the World Series. They were so fun. They loved playing for Alex Cora. They had so much energy under him. Even this past season, you saw a lot of energy from this team. Yes, of course, it certainly helped having big energy from Kike Hernandez, Alex Verdugo, Rafael Devers. But there's something about Alex Cora that just makes these players want to play for him. It's clear he's very passionate about the game. He's not too far removed from the game. He played not all that long ago, so he's still pretty connected there. His brother Joey, not anymore. He worked with the Pirates for a little while. And there's a lot of good to say about Alex Cora. And despite anything that happened in 2017, he's still a good manager. The players still respect him. They want to be able to play for him. They listen to him. And I think it's a big thing, too, that Alex Cora obviously speaks Spanish and he can connect with these players on a totally different level that Ron Renicki couldn't. I certainly couldn't. I cannot speak Spanish. So I think it's great that Alex Cora can connect with players like Rafael Devers, JD Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, and be able to, you know, pull them aside, talk to them in their native language, make them feel more welcome, make them feel more comfortable. So I love this. I'm very excited as a Red Sox fan, as somebody who covers this team. I think it's a smart move. I think Alex Cora can provide a winning attitude and a winning mentality to a clubhouse. And like I said, they're setting this team up to be competitive. They do have a strong farm system. They just need to work on their pitching, as we've discussed in other episodes of Locked On Red Sox. But he can really motivate a team. He really knows how to get guys going. You know, he's not afraid to end his post-game press conference or start his post-game press conference by saying, "We need to play better." It's that simple. And he knows where things need to be better. He knows where things need to improve. Of course, he's not perfect. He makes in-game decisions that make me want to pull my hair out sometimes. But what manager doesn't? No manager is perfect. But I think he's the perfect man for the job here in Boston. And I don't think there's many that would disagree when it comes to players. And I think, especially in a big, robust free agent market this offseason, I think he provides kind of a little extra motivation, like, hey, maybe you want to sign with Boston and come over and play for the Red Sox because we could make the World Series next year or the year after. We have Alex Cora, we have Xander Bogaerts, we have Rafael Devers, we have Chris Sale. You can really sell this team, and a good team needs a good manager. We've seen that throughout MLB over the years what a bad manager or an incompetent manager can do to a baseball team. We've seen it in the NHL, in the NBA, in the NFL. We've seen it throughout all professional sports. And having a good manager is so, so crucial, especially if you have a winning mentality like the Red Sox. If you have that win now attitude, you have a fan base anxious and antsy for another World Series title. I think that it was only a matter of when, not if, this would happen. I am a little, it kind of caught me off guard that it happened so soon, but hey, this is the man they want for the job. They don't want him going anywhere, and they locked him up. They already picked up the option. They said, "You're our guy. We want you to lead us to another World Series, hopefully in 2022. But in order for Alex Cora to lead the Red Sox to the World Series in 2022, he's gonna need a little help from Chaim Bloom to bolster that pitching. Coming up in our second segment of the Locked On Red Sox podcast, the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot became official. There's some notable firsts, some notable lasts, and overall just a lot of notable names. So we will definitely talk about that, so be sure to stick around. But first, I need to talk to you about Bet Online, because it's almost Thanksgiving, and we all know what that means. It means football. Come on, food, family, and football on Thanksgiving. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting, right? BetOnline has you covered all holiday season. That means more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all of the sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus by using promo code LOCKEDON. Use promo code LOCKEDON to receive that 50% welcome bonus. And it's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. I can 100% confirm that. I am not a betting person, but BetOnline makes it so easy. That's BetOnline, and we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. I also would love to tell you about DirecTV, because does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching for your favorite sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. I think I just got called out right there. But I want to tell you about a simple way to get all of that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. That means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. No more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And here's the best part. There's no annual contract, So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required and content varies by package. Welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. So the Baseball Hall of Fame, the National Baseball Hall of Fame, the ballot was officially released. There were a lot of notable first-time guys on there. David Ortiz, Alex Rodriguez, Jonathan Papelbon, a lot of ex-Red Sox, which I thought was a lot of fun, just kind of brought me back to 2013 and 2007, 2004, just kind of having those memories of all the fun times and the World Series championships. So, of course, Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz definitely present very interesting cases here. Alex Rodriguez was suspended for the 2014 season for violating MLB's drug policy. He did test positive for HGH and steroids, and that was the whole thing. He lied about it. He got caught, and then he got suspended, and then he made his return. And ultimately, he retired. I'm not sure if that ever came down to another failed drug test, if he had tested positive again or whatever. But he certainly is more interesting than David Ortiz because A-Rod, you still look at his numbers. He still had fantastic numbers throughout his career. He was one of the best hitters that the Yankees had and best hitters in MLB. He was always a threat at the plate. Obviously, his career is tainted by the positive HGH test, the violating the drug policy, and being suspended. However, what makes this even more interesting is people like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. They're on their last year of eligibility for the Hall of Fame this year, and they both were part of the steroid era in baseball. There was a whole fiasco surrounding Roger Clemens. He lied as well, got caught, all of that. But it makes you wonder because Barry Bonds, you know, a lot of the thing is with him is he never really, quote unquote, did his time for the steroids and everything he did in baseball, where Alex Rodriguez did. He served his time. He got suspended. He was accountable. Eventually, he was accountable for what he did. So does that change the baseball writers' minds? I don't know, because they also almost did not elect Jim Rice to the Hall of Fame simply because they didn't like him. And I know that's some of it with Barry Bonds. They don't think he's the nicest person to these writers. That shouldn't have anything to do with it. Like their personality, anything like that, that should have nothing to do with what they did on the field. That's a whole nother topic for another episode that we will talk about this week. So it makes you wonder if they're not going to let in Barry Bonds, if they're not going to let in Roger Clemens, do they let in somebody like A-Rod? And what is the difference there? Is it because A-Rod is likable among the writers, or maybe he's not? I don't really know. Is it because he served a suspension, got to return, and continued to still play the game of baseball? I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know how the writers are going to vote. It is worth noting that last year, the BBWAA did not elect anyone to the Hall of Fame last year. They did not elect any players. It could happen again this year with the names on here. So that will certainly be interesting to watch. It will be interesting to see how the writers vote, especially with people like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, and of course, Curt Schilling. I do want to say that we will talk Curt Schilling. I want to kind of dedicate an episode to Curt Schilling because of his case and being so polarizing and so different. And there always was the conversation, even before everything kind of hit the fan with him, whether he was a Hall of Fame pitcher or not. So I want to dedicate an entire episode to that, or at least one entire segment of that. And I want to give that my entire attention for 15, 20 minutes, maybe. But David Ortiz, like A-Rod, also presents a very, very interesting case. And in 2009, the New York Times reported that Ortiz allegedly tested positive for a PED as part of a confidential survey that was done in 2003. Ortiz, like A-Rod, like Roger Clemens, he denied ever using steroids. Both the league and the Players Association said the positive test could have been triggered by a legal substance and that the testing, how they tested the players came into question. You probably remember like Ryan Braun, remember when that whole thing happened? He blamed it on the tester and everything like that. That was a whole other fiasco, but the testing came into question with Ortiz. And during Ortiz's final MLB season in 2016, Commissioner Rob Manfred told reporters that the 2003 test was faulty and it was entirely possible that Ortiz was innocent of any wrongdoing. And it is worth noting that Ortiz never tested positive after MLB started the formal drug testing policy, and that was in 2006. So he's an interesting case because of what surrounds him and the drama around, again, the steroid era and maybe not testing positive. He never was suspended or anything, so he's certainly very interesting too. I mean, Red Sox fans still love David Ortiz. He had such an incredible impact on this team, on this city, on this fan base. He finished his career with 541 home runs, 632 doubles, 1,768 RBI. And in the postseason, he hit 289 with 17 home runs, 61 RBI, and that was in 85 postseason games. So he really came in clutch at all the right moments. If I'm a writer, I'm voting for Barry Bonds. I'm voting for Roger Clemens. I'm voting for Ortiz. I'm voting for A-Rod. I'm not saying where I stand on Schilling because, like I said, I want to dedicate an entire segment slash episode to him, and that will be coming Wednesday, so be sure to stick around for that. But in my mind, if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. None of this first ballot, second ballot stuff. If you are going to the Hall of Fame, you deserve to go into the Hall of Fame. And growing up, I'm 32 years old. I grew up in the steroid era. I loved watching Mark McGwire. I loved watching Barry Bonds. Some of my earliest baseball memories are watching Mark McGwire hit 60, 70 home runs. I remember that the games were always on. Anytime he was at bat, my dad would be like, Mark McGwire's up, and I'd want to watch because I knew he was hitting home runs. I mean, I was very young at that time. I didn't know what steroids were, but I knew that the dude didn't even have a neck, so I knew something wasn't right. But these players were still good without steroids, without performance-enhancing drugs, without HGH, without whatever they took. They still did what they did. They still were good players. They still reached these feats. Sure, they're tainted a little bit. You can say that if you want. I know there's a lot of baseball purists out there and a lot of people who want to keep the game clean. If they do any sort of PED or HGH, they should not be in the Hall of Fame. That's fine. I totally respect that opinion, but I respectfully disagree. I think that Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens do belong in the Hall of Fame. I think Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz belong in the Hall of Fame. But it also comes down to, can you let Barry Bonds in without A-Rod or vice versa? Can Barry Bonds not get in, but A-Rod get in? And again, it comes down to that, because A-Rod quote unquote served his time. I don't know. It's really interesting. The players have to receive 75% of votes. Barry Bonds had 61.8 last year. Clemens had 61.6. And Curt Schilling was very close. He had 71.1%. So it's going to be something worth keeping our eyes on throughout this entire process. There is a great Twitter account out there who tracks the ballots as they come in, so you can see the trends and how the writers are voting. I think one thing that's keeping me from thinking that Bonds and Clemens and Schilling, A-Rod and Ortiz, even down the line, if they don't get in on their first try, kind of what's keeping me from thinking that they'll get in is that a lot of these baseball writers are older, kind of baseball purists, and they respect the game. And that's fine. Like I said, I respect if somebody doesn't want to let someone else in the Hall of Fame because they believe they tainted the game. That is totally fine. But I think now it's 2021. I think it's time to basically look past that. I mean, we had this whole sticky stuff situation this past season with the spider tack, with pine tar, with whatever the pitchers wanted to use on their hands, put it on their neck. And there was this whole thing with that. Gerrit Cole was very vocal about it. Garrett Richards was very vocal about it. And a lot of players were very vocal about wanting to use something to better grip the ball. You wonder if that will ever come into play. That's a whole nother conversation, a long time away from now. But I'm very interested to see how the writers will vote, if they elect anybody to the Hall of Fame. But if I'm a writer, like I said, I'm voting for David Ortiz. I'm voting for A-Rod and Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens as well. So we won't know if anybody is elected to the Hall of Fame until January. So we'll certainly have a lot to speculate from now until then. It's going to be fun to watch the ballots as they come in. And it's going to be interesting to see, too, how certain writers vote. I know a lot of the writers like to release their ballots to the public and be able to see, so fans can see how they voted. So I love when that happens as well, because a lot of them will explain their thinking behind voting or not voting one way. So that's always nice to see, too. I love when writers are transparent. I love when they're vocal about why and who they voted for. So we'll see if A-Rod and Ortiz don't get in the first time around, it's not the end of the world. They can do it. They're eligible for 10 years. So we might be talking about this till I'm in my 40s, which is just, I don't want to think about it, honestly. But, you know, I think that with Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and Curt Schilling, with them being on their final year of eligibility, a lot of eyes are on them because this could really change the way how people vote if one or two or all three get in. This is their last chance here. There's no more chances after this. If Barry Bonds doesn't get in, it is a shame. I know he's had legal troubles. I know that he's had other issues outside of baseball. But to me, if you are a Hall of Famer, you are a Hall of Famer because of what you did on the baseball field throughout your career. But we will see how these writers vote. I'm very interested, like I said. A little anxious, a little antsy. I want it to be January now. Not that I want to wish 2021 away, but at this point, it's just time is a flat circle. So let's just get the show on the road and let's see who, if anybody, is going to be elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Coming up in our third segment of Locked On Red Sox, I will end this show on a positive note, and it's a little bit of good breaking news, so stick around for that. Welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. As I always do, I will end this show on a positive note. And as I was recording our second segment, and the news came in that Rafael Devers was named to the All-MLB second team. And Twitter user SoxNotes, who's a fantastic follow on Twitter, he put out the 2021 rankings among third basemen for Rafael Devers. So his 38 home runs were first, his 113 RBI were first, his 76 extra base hits first, .538 slugging percentage first, 101 runs second, his .890 OPS was third. And in the 2021 regular season finale, Devers went 4-for-5 with 2 home runs and 4 RBI. And the 2021 postseason, he went .295, 5 home runs, 12 RBI, and a 1.029 OPS. So this obviously was very deserved. I love when stuff happens as I'm trying to record, and this was a perfect way to end the show because I wasn't too sure what my positive note would be. I've been doing a countdown for the last two episodes till opening day, but I wanted to end it on a positive note. The Red Sox and Rafael Devers came in clutch, so he is named to your All-MLB team. The All-MLB second team, that's what he was named to. So perfect way to end this show. Perfect way to end the Tuesday. Let's end it there. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at lalalalauren, 3 laws, Lauren with 4 R's, and the Locked On Red Sox Twitter account at @LO_RedSox. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Locked On Red Sox. You'll never miss an episode if you subscribe. No matter when we drop it, 4 a.m., 7 p.m., you'll always know. Don't forget to check out all the other Locked On shows across the network. Locked On Rays, they had a lot to talk about today. Locked On Yankees, also a lot to talk about. Locked On A's, Locked On Blue Jays. Everyone does incredible work. Please go check them out. Thank you once again for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Be sure to check out tomorrow's episode where we do a bit of a deep dive on Curt Schilling. Whether he does or does not belong in the Hall of Fame, we'll get right into it on Wednesday. But now go make your second listen, Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all of your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. Have a great day. We'll see you Wednesday.